Rabbi Naftali Schiff, a very, very good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning.
Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. I do know that it is only 6:17 in Poland, it is a very early start. But an early start for what is going to be, I would imagine, a very difficult day in Poland where you are right now. Where are you actually based?
We're based in Krakow, across three or four hotels across the city. And J-Root has the tremendous privilege of being, of partnering with the Auschwitz-Birkenau Memorial Foundation, with specific responsibility for the 120 survivors, plus their chaperones and families for this very, very special commemoration day.
Have most of these survivors been back, or is that their first trip?
Well, remarkably, quite a number of them that I've spoken to and interviewed over the last two or three days actually have never been back before.
Wow.
Quite a few have, but many haven't, and so obviously it's an incredibly emotional and moving time for all of them.
As somebody who's involved in this, I would imagine that you back there, you're visiting the area all the time. Is it as emotional every time you go back? Is it a different experience, or is there a danger that it just becomes almost like going to a museum?
For me, and I think for most people who are dedicated to this type of activity, it can never become a rote activity. Not at all. I tell people, you know, every time I personally go back, I learn something new and experience something new. And I'm happy to share with you that I think that one of the reasons that I became so connected with survivors and in a way the whole subject of the Holocaust is we live in a world that is full of virtual reality, augmented reality. And much of our world is very superficial, but one of the things I find remarkable about survivors, and unfortunately all unique nowadays, is their authenticity, their genuineness. If they like you, they'll tell you. If they hate you, they'll tell you. If they like God, they'll act that way. And if they have real problems with him, they'll tell you. They'll tell him straight to his face, and you straight to your face. The experience of going to Poland is something that rips away the superficiality and the veneer of a lot of the lives that unfortunately we live in 2020. Mm. So it doesn't become stale. It's a very powerful experience every time. And I would say one of the things that we try to do in J-Roots is really every day and everything we do always begins with life. And it ends with life. There was life in Poland for 1,000 years before the Holocaust. There is actually a life renewing here now, but certainly the trips that we do, the journeys that we do, also with groups from South Africa, but with groups all over the world, very much people leave with a very palpable, powerful commitment to build a better world, and Am Yisrael Chai, and really, one of the things I find about all the survivors, and again, surrounded by survivors the last couple of days in Krakow, is their tremendous commitment to life, their vitality, the pride with which they'll introduce you to their children, their grandchildren, and the photos that they carry with them all the time is very powerful indeed.
Incredible. So it is all about the affirmation that Judaism and the next generations continue despite the tremendous loss of life. What is happening at Auschwitz-Birkenau today? What is the program?
Today is the official commemoration. It's accompanied by 120 survivors. I think actually altogether there'll be 200 survivors, because I think there are many Polish people as well who went through Auschwitz also joining, and many heads of state and representatives of various countries. It's Ronald Lauder, Ambassador Lauder, who is the chairman of the World Jewish Congress and also the Auschwitz-Birkenau Memorial Foundation, has really devoted the last 30 years to preservation of Auschwitz and Birkenau and its archives and ensuring it becomes a UNESCO site. So today there is this enormous gathering of I think up to 1,000 people, but I could be wrong on that. And they're gathering together, one of the special things about survivors is if there are too many speeches, the more polite of them will just fall asleep. The rest of them will tell you, shut up, I don't know what you're talking about, which is also quite refreshing as well. But it really, I can tell you, I'll share with you something. Personally, I after the last night there was a big dinner. I actually met, I think it's her name, Mary Klook,
yes,
from Durban.
Yes, from South Africa.
Yes, she, mm-hmm. Who I actually had interviewed a while ago when I was making a film in South Africa. I think that's when you and I first met as well.
Yes.
Afterwards I came back to the hotel and there were a bunch of survivors sitting around and they said, Rabbi, come and join us for a l'chaim. And just when you take a step back and you think about what that means, it's incredible. Mm. Maybe fiddler on the roof helped, but l'chaim to life. I was just going to say
for any of our non-Jewish listeners, of course, everybody knows the toast to l'chaim, but it actually means to life. And here you've got these survivors sitting in Krakow saying l'chaim, and they have survived.
Yeah. And it's, in a way that possibly there's nothing more quintessentially Jewish than the ability to get up after tragedy and lift a glass and say to life, l'chaim. So last night when we came back after this enormous banquet, a bunch of them were sitting in the lobby. They invited me to sit down with them. And for a couple of hours we were sitting around drinking l'chaim, but an affirmation to life, and talking about all sorts of things, and about Israel and their families, and the resurgence of life, and what we're doing in Jeruz, and why we come back, and every time I come back, my mother says, why are you going back to that cursed country? My mother's family left Berlin in 1933. And many of that generation don't understand why on earth would we come back. But if any of your listeners have been with us on trips to Jeruz, they certainly can affirm why we come back. The trips that we do are incredibly life affirming, and that's really, I'm sure that that's what today will be about. I've read a little bit on social media over the last few days about how people are talking about it's a very interesting mix of emotions, because of course it's very heavy and there are many tears, but I think for the Jewish people, our tears are always laced with tears of joy as well, because we know we're going to live on. We know that somehow, even at the moment in the Torah portion, we're reading about slavery in Egypt, and people forget that only a fifth of the Jewish people came out of Egypt. The houses were saved. Somehow a representative of every family was saved, and somehow we go on and we get up again and we affirm life. But again and again, we've been persecuted throughout our history, but somehow a member of each household somehow survives and we rebuild again. And in a way, that which our enemies don't understand is the more you afflict us, the more we stand up. We won't be bent. We will stand up. We'll fight for what it is to be Jewish, and we'll fight to build a better world. That's really our commitment today. And I'm sure that's the commitment of all of the people who will be there today. And I guess because this is the 75th anniversary, and the survivors who have anything near an adult memory are now non-Nigerians, is that the word? They're in the 90s. And it's clear that our generation, our children's generation, are the ones to receive that torch from them. And they've done their bit. They somehow got up from the ashes and reaffirmed life and built families and built communities, and now it comes our turn to take that talk from them and really, really go out there and show ourselves, our own communities. I said when I made Havdalah in the square in Kazimir, the famous Jewish square, when you're walking around on Shabbat, I was walking around in my Shabbos clothes, all of Shabbat, and they're these little buggies, you know, of tourists going by. Mm. And I, you know, as a Jew, you know, we're all paranoid, but you sort of feel that they're stopping and actually pointing. Look, there's one of them, and he's still doing it. You know, you know, you sort of feel amazing. You're part of this, yes. the species they thought that were extinct. But here we are. We're back. But what we need to do is, you know, we grew up in a generation. When I was a kid, we were fighting for Soviet Jewry, and it was sort of a repetition almost of, go down Moses, way down to Egypt land, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. In our generation, for our kids, it's not just, it's let our people know. And we have to make sure that our kids know and the world knows, but not with cliches. Maybe what I just said was a cliche. I don't mean it as a, I think that never again and remember and let our people know. I don't mean that as a cliche. It needs to be much deeper.
Well, I guess that's the question is as the survivors, of course, get older and many of them pass on, how does it shift and how does the education and focus shift towards sustaining this memory and this critical message?
Well, one of the reasons that Jewry's we continue to bring more and more groups to Poland every year is to make sure that let my people know. We want people to be witnesses to what happened. But one of the things that we have devoted a lot of time and resource to over the last 15 years has been almost like downloading not just the memories and not just the evidence and the testimony of survivors, but a legacy, almost their spiritual legacy, their legacy of values. We feel that education is not just about information. So as we travel around Poland, or the truth is that any other place that we will visit with J-Roots, we are trying to share values, the values that have really escorted the Jewish people over the last 2,000 years, despite the fact that we were scattered to the four corners of the earth. There are values that we kept strong. And I personally have interviewed over 100 men, probably much more now, survivors. I've spent thousands and thousands of hours and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of air miles interviewing survivors all over the world. And as we move from a time where they themselves personally will be able to give testimony, the many documentaries that we've made and we will make with the footage that we have really are the purpose of them is to pass on the values of survivors. And I'll say that as I've been involved in Jewish education for 30 years. Mm. And I think we all recognize as whether we're parents or teachers or community leaders, there's an enormous challenge in passing on values. You know, just even, you know, when we were growing up, our parents would, you know, my parents would say, you know, whatever you do, be a mensch. Mm. You know, be a decent member of society and be a decent human being, behave decently towards people. And that type of message, you know, the survivors that I've met, the message of affirmation of life, the message of love as opposed to hate, things like persistence, resilience. You know, how do you teach a kid when everything is throwaway to stick with something?
Absolutely.
And not give up.
Absolutely.
And these are lessons that I feel we can really learn from survivors. And that's why J-Roots, we try to capture them on film. And we're producing more and more films all the time, documentaries. Everything we do is not for profit. This is it's deeper and more valuable and more important than anything else.
I think we have to unfortunately leave it there. We are a minute late for news headlines, but keep up the incredibly important work that you are doing. And
thank you.
And
l'chaim.
Absolutely. It might be 7:30. It's 7:30 in the morning, but it's never too early. Somewhere in the world, it's a bit later. L'chaim. Time is 7:32. That's Rabbi Naftali Shift. He is the founder and chief executive of Jewish Roots. He is the CEO of J Roots and talking to us from Krakow this morning.